Welcome to episode 582 of Good Luck High Five.
That's right. You're listening to a podcast that's for you if you play Magic the Gathering. Whether you have the same 3-month cold that everyone that we know seems to have had,
Absolutely.
Or you have somehow escaped it, we are here for you.
I'm one of your hosts, Maria.
I'm another one of your hosts, Megan.
And if you hear any loud banging during this podcast, rest assured it's just our upstairs neighbors doing something with some kind of dead body up there.
Truly, they have today made some of the loudest noises I have heard in an interior situation.
Space.
Yes.
Yeah, that was just two huge loud thumps. I don't know if you could hear them, but they were there.
It was the sound, like a few minutes ago, it was the sounds of construction that I would expect outdoors. I would expect a crane to have been involved in the sounds that we heard, but it could not be because it was inside a building.
Indoor crane, new invention.
Oh.
Or did I just blow your mind, construction world? did I say my name already?
Yes, you did.
All right. What I didn't say is what we're talking about on the pod this week, everybody. We're talking standard.
That's right. We're going to talk about some standard decks that we've been enjoying playing, as well as what some of the organized play people at Wizards of the Coast think of the direction that organized play is heading in. Heads up, there's more.
I mean, what's interesting is like last week we were talking specifically about how it appeared that standard was doing better than I think everybody thought.
Yes.
And how Wizards had been putting a lot of time, energy, and money behind trying to revitalize standard at local game stores. And so now this is kind of furthering that news that we brought to you last week as to where standard is at in Magic. And here's the thing. If you're like, I'm not a standard player.
Yeah.
I don't want to play standard. Let me just tell you, I was seeing some tweets on the old timeline that were like, standard is in one of the best places that it's ever been. I'm having a ton of fun.
Yeah.
And that inspired me to go in, drop into the queues, as the kids say. And do you know the word queue, how it's spelled is, you know, it's just a nightmare?
Yes.
So when I was in college, sorry for the tangent.
No, I'll give around Let's back to the point. It. Yeah.
When I was in college, somebody, I, you know, like Napster, that was the thing.
Yes.
I'm 21. What? That was the thing. And you put songs in your queue and it download them or whatever.
Yeah.
And some guy who was in my class at college was like, oh, I just don't know what to do. I'm waiting so long in my quay. You know, and nobody knew what he was talking about. And we're like, what do you mean? Like, what language are you speaking? And we had a 5-minute conversation before we realized he meant Q.
Amazing.
Which if you didn't
Top
know,
notch.
That's probably how you would pronounce
that
it.
Is a, yeah, absolutely.
So I'm dropping in the quays. And let me tell you, it was a blast and a half.
Yeah. I dropped into those quays just because I needed to fulfill like one of my little gold quests,
oh,
you know?
Nice.
And one of them was red, white. And I was like, what am I going to do? I never play red, white.
And I was Where's like, the blue?
I was like, do you know what? I will go grab like a red, white deck if there is one in standard. And so I just ended up on this Boros Convoke deck and then was also having a great time.
Yes, it is a really, really fun time over in standard right now. So if you're like hankin' for some 60 card action, we got you.
And if that's not your jam, don't worry. We are going to have a flavor text theater with this all. I found a little Adventures in the Forgotten Realms collector boosty.
Blast from the past.
And we're gonna pitch you some Kate Middleton conspiracy theories.
Y'all keeping up on that?
Cards.
Well, let me tell you, I've been keeping up
Maria
on it.
Maria's been keeping up on that. And if you have not been, don't worry. We're going to tell you all of the hottest new Kate Middleton conspiracy theories when we bust open this
If
pack.
She's been found by the time this podcast comes out, just know probably something
probably
that we said.
Helped find her.
Helped find her.
Helped find
they
her.
Didn't hear it, you know, but they.
Based in this pack.
They knew it in their
Based
brains.
In this pack.
Before we kick off the episode and find a long lost princess, everybody, we have to say thank you to everybody who makes this episode actually happen.
Yes.
They're over on patreon.com/GLHFmagic.
Thank you so much to all of our patrons and especially to our patrons. especially
sure.
to new patron Thoughtseize the Means.
Yeah.
Do you know what? How am I supposed to make
They've already punned.
How am I supposed to make a pun out of that when you already made a pun out of that?
You need to double down. You need to double pun this name.
Oh my goodness. Oh, okay, it's just so good. Okay,
it's very good.
I just want to let you know, Thoughtseize the Means is excellent.
A plus.
If you don't know, my online handle in a lot of magic stuff is Ice Cream Socialist.
Yeah, so
I feel like our buddy puns.
So these are
they're buddy
they're
puns.
Friend puns, yeah.
Okay. Thought, you know, this thought sees the means a lot to us.
Yeah, that's
got there.
Two puns deep, everybody. If you want a pun like that, you can donate at $5 a month or more over on patreon.com/glhfmagic. You get a bunch of really cool discounts. You really, really cool benefits. I mean, I'd call it a discount, quite frankly, the deal you're getting for the content that we make. But you get early access to episode releases, both this and Commander Arcade. You get into our Discord. You get longer episodes. You get to influence what kind of decks we play over on Commander Arcade. There's a whole smorgasbord over there. So go check it out if you want any of those sweet, sweet bennies.
Nice.
Yeah. We're also going to say thank you to Card King. You can check them out on the internet at cardkingdom.com/glhf. Buy whatever you need for your magical life because, frankly, they've got it all.
Yes, truly they do.
Frankly,
what do you need? Frankly, my dear, they have it all.
That was the famous line, wasn't it? Yes. Can you imagine?
The Card Kingdom. Frankly, my dear, we have it all. You're welcome, Card Kingdom,
for
yet another perfect slogan.
I remember that line from Casablanca.
I think we all remember that line.
I thought it didn't make any sense in the context of the film, but now I get it.
But now you understand. It was about Card Kingdom. They've been around since the film Casablanca. Another great tagline.
Wow. And before magic was invented.
Around since Casablanca.
You can you can actually order the Follow Commander decks right now.
Yes.
I've had people texting me about those decks, everybody.
I know, randos.
Because...
Randos texting you. I'm not randos. I don't know what I'm saying.
I don't even recognize a number. But I'll respond.
How did they get your phone number?
Because of our last episode in Commander Arcade, we play these decks.
Yep.
And I have to say, like, they were exceptional.
They were so fun. They're fun enough that I have just, like, wanted to play them
yes,
since.
Yes, so have I. And I think that is, they just knocked it out of the park.
Yeah.
Because it's a fandom we're not a part of.
Yeah.
We took a chance on playing it, and it turned out to be in just an excellent time. So
yeah, because of this, I've begun to dabble in potentially playing Fallout.
Well, what does that mean?
I mean that I know that we have a copy of it inside of our home.
Oh, so all right, everybody. You see, this is what cross promotion how it works.
This is how it works.
But yeah, I've had people text me about it, and they're like, "Which is the best one? What's your favorite one?" Mothman.
yeah,
but they're all very good.
I would want to play. I think I would want to play Mothman also.
Well, I guess we're all just going to have to play Mothman around the table.
I would. Okay. I want to see a four Mothman game.
That's going to get... Somebody's going to die almost instantly from milling.
Yes.
That's what's going to happen.
You have 100 cards.
I don't know. I feel like it could happen.
I don't know.
It could happen with four Mothmans. There's a lot of rad counters.
Four Mothmans.
By the way, speaking of Commander Arcade, I want to give you all a heads up. We've got a new episode coming out next Monday.
Next Monday.
You're going to be like, what the heck? Didn't you just release an episode? And the answer is yes.
We did.
We're releasing 2 a month now, everybody. Oh, 2 a month.
It's going to be a really good time.
Yeah, it's a super fun episode with people playing decks that they love. Some new guests on Commander Arcade as well.
Yes.
It's a very, very fun time. So the 25th, 10 a.m. Central.
And if you thought the last game had a lot of triggers, let me tell you. But these ones don't get missed as often.
Yeah, these ones are not missed.
These ones are not missed.
For a very specific reason.
These triggers happen, and we're all traumatized by them. There you go.
If you want to be traumatized by triggers.
That's a promise.
That's a promise for sure for you. If you haven't subbed, we'd love to have you. We're trying to hit 1K. We're very close. And I said I would share a picture of my cat in a hat if we hit 1,000.
Cat in hat.
I mean, if you get there and it's already 1,000, just sub anyway. You know
just
what I mean?
Sub anyway. Cat in hat.
I got a new hat specifically for this photo for my cat.
Amazing.
So you know
what
I mean
commitment.
Business. I'm committed to this photo.
Yeah.
Come help us get to our sub numbers over there. Watch the videos. They're just very, very fun. And also, check out Carcanum. Carcanum.com/GLHF. Commander Arcade is youtube.com/@GLHFCommander. It's time for a standard corner.
Just a second, Maria. Before we get to that standard corner, I have to tell you something that I've been looking at on my screen.
You know what? I looked over there and I clocked it and forgot about it three separate times. That's ADHD
for you. Which is that I looked up and indoor cranes do already exist. Indoor cranes. cranes exist.
Did it specifically say indoor crane?
Hydraulic floor crane, 500-pound bridge crane, aluminum gantry crane, power lift jib crane.
Can I sit in a little, you know what I mean? I'm thinking of like, I want to
sit. Oh, you want to sit in the crane command box.
I want to be in the command box and I want to use the joystick to move the crane around. That cannot possibly be something that exists.
That does not appear to exist in what I am looking at.
Because there's like no reason.
There's no reason for you to sit there. There's no reason for it. There's no reason for there to be a command box. This one does have a joystick.
Well, okay, I'm interested in that one.
For the low price of $9,000.
That's a deal considering what I'd probably pay for the car version. Wow. Oh, all right, everybody.
Yeah.
New goals. Get an office.
Why?
Office crane.
To what end?
I just need to pick up this pencil over here.
I don't know if this crane could even fit in here.
Really?
These are big. Like, look, they're like warehouse
indoors. Indoor cranes. Yeah, see, oh, sure. Like, oh, yeah, that's very large.
You know, they're indoor space. They're indoor, but they're big.
So there's a hole in the market, everybody, for an indoor crane that's like for a medium-sized building like ours for a lower price than $9,000 with a cab that you can use to get in there. And
there's a lot of specifications on this thing.
I'm just saying.
But consider you have at least and perhaps only one person who would purchase it.
Sometimes all you need is that one. Sometimes. We have so many good business ideas on the show.
So many.
It's amazing. None of them have taken off yet.
All right, Maria, we were heading into our standard corner.
Just your average everyday corner.
Just a normal standard corner.
It's been a long time since we've had the standard corner intro.
Still 90 degrees.
Still 90 degrees on the other side.
Yep. Wait.
Wait.
What? No. If it's the intersection of four walls, but you wouldn't even know that. If you're inside, you don't know what the outside corner of that wall looks like. You don't know how many intersections it has.
That's like, it's also maybe impossible. I guess if there was another wall on the other side of it. Yeah.
Like if it was like this. If it was like this, you know, then
yes,
you have
yes, cross,
four
cross
90
wise.
Degree corners.
Yeah. Don't. Oh,
anyways,
I could start another tangent, but I won't because we're talking about standard.
Yes.
Yes, I was incensed by the Twitterverse to check it out.
Incensed. They made you furious.
I was so furious.
You were like, I must
try standard.
I must.
Everybody's tweeting about it. I'm being left out. And wow, was it a fun time. It was just great. Like I'm hankering to go play some more standard right now. So I think it's in a great place. There's a bunch of really interesting decks to check out. And it's really not that much of a commitment if you play on Arena, if you draft at all, you know, to craft. Like I had to craft one wild card for the deck that I'm playing. You know what I mean?
Wow.
So like, yeah, that's fine.
Very nice.
I didn't even buy the packs for this last set because I forgot.
Oh.
So anyway, that's what I think. Anyway, it's fun. It's fun. It's fun.
Yes.
So Megan, you've also been having a good time in standard?
I have also been having a good time. Like I said, I just had one of those like little 750 gold, you know, like quests at the bottom.
Quest.
That was red, white. And as you might imagine, I sometimes have a problem completing those. Look, my friends.
Why would that be?
If it doesn't have blue in it, I sometimes have problems completing it.
Yeah.
And I was like, do you know what? I bet that there is like some standard deck that I can just go run through a little, like a couple little ranked plays of.
Absolutely.
And have a fun time and complete this quest. And I was like, yes, look at this. Boros Convoke. Let's go. And then I started playing it and I completed the quest and then continued to play the deck because I was having such a good time.
Wow. These are colors that to you are sometimes anathema. You won't touch them with a 10-foot pole.
It's true.
These colors incense
Stay
you.
Away. They make me furious.
But here we are in the year of our Grombus 2024. You're playing this deck. What's the appeal to you here?
It's just a good time.
Okay, what does it do?
Okay, so you play a lot of cheap little creatures. You have Novice Inspectors. You have Voldaren Epicures. Notably, both of those make a little artifact when they come into play, right?
Yes.
One mana, you get a little body, you get a little artifact.
One makes a clue, one makes a blood token.
And then you have this card called Gleeful Demolition, which is a single red mana for a sorcery. It says, destroy target artifact. You might think, what the heck are you talking about, Megan? Why is that interesting? It also says, if you control that artifact, create 3/1/1 red Phyrexian Goblin creature tokens.
Okay.
So We play our little, you know, on turn one, we play our little 1/1 that also makes an artifact. And then on turn two, you gleeful demolition it. And then all of a sudden you have three more 1/1s.
So you've got four tiny creatures
you
right now.
Four little creatures. Then you can play things that make those creatures bigger or that use those creatures in other ways, like Warden of the Inner Sky. This is one white mana for a 1/2. If it has three or more counters on it, it has flying and vigilance. Tap three untapped artifacts and or creatures you control, put a +1/+1 counter on Warden of the Inner Sky, scry one.
Wow, I love this guy.
I know. And so, right, like you can play this and put a lot of counters on it really quickly. You also play Knight Errant of Eos.
Oh, yeah.
Which is 4 and a white for a 4/4, but it has Convoke. And when it enters the battlefield, look at the top 6 cards of your library. You may reveal up to 2 creature cards with mana value X or less from among them, where X is the number of creatures that convoked Knight Errant. Put the revealed cards into your hand, then shuffle. Right? Like, sick. You just convoke this out and you get 2 creatures, because usually you can convoke it for 5.
Right.
So a lot of times, or you'll convoke it for 3, because 3 is like a really popular, you want to hit your Imidane's Recruiter.
Sure.
If you remember this little buddy, 2 and a red for a 2/2 human knight. When it enters the battlefield, creatures you control get +1/+0 and gain haste until end of turn.
Oh, I remember this card because I'm playing that card in my deck.
Oh.
You can all think about what deck it is for a second.
Wow. And so, right, like you just, it's just, like it's just a fun time.
It looks super good time. Fun.
You just like dump a bunch of creatures on the board and attack people.
You get to play cards like War Leader's Call, which I love cards like this. One red, white for an enchantment. Creatures you control get +1/+1. Plus, whenever a creature enters the battlefield under your control, War Leader's Call deals 1 damage to each opponent. So if you're constantly playing little, if you're like making 3 goblins or whatever.
Yeah. Also, the art on War Leader's Call is so good.
It is beautiful. It should be a playmat. I'm sure it is. It's really pretty.
I'm sure that it is. Aldo Dominguez did the art and it's just gorgeous.
I do love this deck. I've got to check it out. I feel like
it's just so goofy.
Your biggest creature here is Knight Errant of Eos that you're convoking out.
Yes, exactly.
So you can convoke this on turn 3?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
All right. Easily. That's pretty good because that's going to beat...
I'm trying to think, right? Like, technically, you could convoke it with 4 creatures on turn 2. Like, if you play Novice Inspector on turn 1 and make a little artifact, and then you play another land, you Gleeful Demolition your artifact.
Yep.
You have 3 creatures plus your Novice Inspector, that's 4, and your 1 land is 5.
Yeah, you're right.
So literally, you could play this 4/4 on turn 2 and then draw 2 more creatures.
Good grief. So
it's pretty sick.
You're doing 7 to your opponent then before they have a chance to wipe the board, which the fastest board wipe in this format is at 4 mana.
Yes. And let me tell you, like, sometimes it's just not fast enough.
Yeah. Wow.
It's a good time. I've been really enjoying playing it.
I'm sold. The deck I've been playing, Megan tried to guess it this morning.
It's true. We're doing a real swaparoo.
We did a little
right
swaparoo,
now.
Everybody. Now, I'm not playing control, okay? Because I just couldn't handle that. But what I did decide to play instead was a fun little deck that I like to call, and everybody else likes to call, 5-Color Domain.
That Maria only likes to call.
Or just Domain. So this deck is built around the card Atraxa, Grand Unifier, which... should surprise nobody, because this card is the best thing that you can be doing in Standard at 7 mana, probably.
It's a house.
And you play a bunch of ways to ramp yourself into playing this card early. Like, you have Invasion of Zendikar, which allows you to go get 2 lands, put them onto the battlefield, which really, let me tell you, ramping yourself by 2 is pretty good.
Yeah.
You're running the most unfair card in Standard, which is known as Up the Beanstalk.
Banned in modern, up the beanstalk.
I feel like it should be banned in Standard. Anyway, it's 1 and a green when it's an enchantment. When it enters the battlefield and whenever you cast a spell with mana value 5 or greater, you draw a card. I mean, playing this on turn 2, you feel like you cannot lose the game.
It is a very good card.
Because you're able to up the beanstalk, it draws when it enters. I mean, like, why does it have that text? It should probably not. But I'm happy it does currently. So I draw that card, and then I'm able to play cards like Leyline Binding, which technically it costs 6 mana.
Yes, so but you can play it for like 1
in this deck
because
consistently.
It's Domain.
And so you play this, you deal with you know, O-ring effect, whatever you want to take away from them on their side of the battlefield, and you draw a card. card off of Up the Beanstalk. It's just ridiculous. So you're ramping early game. You also have you have access to herd migration to help you ramp as well, which you can discard that to go find a land. Late game, that helps you play a bunch of 3/3 green beast creature tokens for each basic land type among lands you control. Hint, it's all of them. You're making five. And then you play Atraxa. So if you don't know what this card does...
Where have you been?
7/7 flying.
Where have you been?
Vigilance, Death Touch, Lifelink. When enters the battlefield, reveal the top 10 cards of your library. For each card type, you may put a card of that type from among the revealed cards into your hand, and then you put the rest on the bottom. So basically, you can draw six in this deck with this card.
Oh boy!
Depending on how exactly your deck is laid out. But you go get whatever you need. Do you need another herd migration? You need another ley line binding.
That is pretty sick.
It's this deck is I think it's might be too good, but we'll see. The reason I say that is I was playing this in some leagues on Arena, not on Magic Online, but whatever we want to call them. And I played against two control decks. One of the games almost went to time. I was going to beat my opponent on clock regardless.
Yeah.
But they were playing blue-white control. And I was like ready to pack it in. Okay. Game one, they can usually win. But game two, you have access to like negate the stone brain.
Woof.
Whatever. You have a great sideboard in this deck as well.
That seems really good.
And you also are playing Cavern of Souls in this deck to help give your
Which means Atraxa things cannot be countered.
Cannot be countered. So I was sitting there ready to lose. I lost game one. Then this is in both instances, I lost game one. And then I came back and then it was just like, my card advantage is never ending.
Which brings us to Megan's eternal soapbox.
Here you go. I'll pull it up for you.
Thank you. Control has not been good since they started giving so much card advantage to other colors.
Yeah.
It's true. It is simply true. Because in order for control to truly be a significant player in a format, it needs to have access to more card advantage than any other deck has access to.
Right.
Right.
Otherwise, like, what's the point?
Exactly. Because otherwise you can't one for one them forever.
Yeah.
It's simply not an okay proposition. And when other decks have all of this card advantage, it just becomes this game where you can never get ahead on cards. And control needs to be ahead on cards. It's what it does, right? It's not ahead on the board because it's not playing creatures. It's not ahead on tempo because it's reactive. So it needs to be ahead on cards. And I believe that contemporary like Magic design has made it impossible for control to ever be truly ahead on cards in the ways that it needs to be an actual player in the format.
Ooh, that's a great point.
So there you go.
Curious what R&D would have to say to that.
That's Megan's spicy take on control. And there are people who are like, why does control need to be around at all? And I'm like, I don't know. Why does aggro need to be around?
Whoa,
if we're talking about different, right? Like, I'm serious. I think that it is worthwhile to look at a format and be like, hey, control has not been viable in a really long time. Is that actually, like, is that okay? Are we okay with that? Some people want us to be okay with that, but I think that it's valid to say that there are plenty of people who don't, like, who prefer to play the game from a control standpoint.
You know, I do have to say I felt bad during this because I'm like, they're doing everything that they should be doing. They're casting their memory deluges, they're drawing cards, they're sweeping the board, whatever. But the problem was Up the Beanstalk continually gives me the card advantage, and then Atraxa, when it lands, I draw six. So,
like, how are you ever supposed to compete with that?
I don't know.
You cannot.
I felt very confident in those games two and three, and in a way that I was not familiar with feeling against a control deck with a strategy that wins with creatures.
Yeah.
The card I mentioned, Imidane's Recruiter, by the way, is what's in this deck too.
Oh, yeah.
There's a one of. It's great because they don't see it coming. You make a bunch of tokens and them in and hit them in the face. Anyway, this deck is absurd. It's not that hard to play. Go check it out if that sounds like your jam, if you like doing big splashy things, everybody.
All right.
Another deck I played against a couple of times has been Dimir Midrange.
Yes.
So these ones we're all talking about, they have five old standard leagues on Magic Online, so they're not necessarily flash in the pan decks or anything.
Yeah.
This is a cool deck that is what you would imagine. It's Dimir cards. They're being mid-rangey.
Deep Cavern Bat is the real, like, I feel like the linchpin of so many different decks that are yes. Esper or Dimir right now.
Get that bat in there.
Get that bat in there. This is the little, like, 1/1 for one in a black flying lifelink. When it enters the battlefield, look at target opponent's hand. You may exile a non-land card from it until Deep Cavern Bat leaves the battlefield. Four of in this and an Esper midrange.
Wow. Very cool. Rip apart their hand. If you can't Thoughtseize them, Deep Cavern Bat them.
Deep Cavern Bat them.
There is three copies of Fairy Mastermind in this list that I'm looking at right now, which is Yuta Takahashi's World Championship card. This is the 2/1 for one in a blue, a flying flash fairy rogue. Whenever an opponent draws their second card each turn, you draw a card, and 3 in a blue, each player draws a card.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
I will say, looking at this and having played against both Dimir midrange and Esper midrange, I have to say that I personally don't understand why you would play Dimir over Esper.
Yeah, I agree.
Because Rafine is just...
Like, you don't have Rafine.
Rafine is a house.
Yeah.
Rafine is a 1/4 home for many.
Yeah.
A 1/4 home for winners.
It is. It's been... Rafine has kind of been what the format has been revolving around ever since it was released. And here we are still in her orbit.
And I will say, like, right when I have played, when I play against Esper decks, there I'm fine. As long as I don't play Rafine, I'm fine.
Yeah.
And Dimir decks, I'm like constantly like, I'm fine. There's no Rafine coming.
Yeah, that's true. You don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
I beat these Dimir decks as well pretty easily. I don't know. They're kind of popping up more recently, so I don't know what their deal is.
Why do they think
they're better than Esper midrange, but okay.
Why do you think you're better than Esper mid? If you're walking in here into Rafine's house, you'd better have a solid argument to make, and I don't see it being made.
Yeah, I don't know either.
That's what I'm saying.
I want to call out this new deck that I've had my beady little eyes on, which is Bant Toxic. You might remember this deck from a few standards ago.
Yeah.
Maybe just one standard ago. It's hard to tell at this point. We change rotation. Anyway, this one is also interesting to me. This one is based around dealing 10 points of poison damage to your opponent instead of killing them from 20.
Yep.
So you're able to do that with a bunch of Phyrexian creatures that deal damage in Toxic.
Yep. Obviously, you have Skrelv's Hive. Skrelv.
I love it. Skrelv in his hive.
Yes, you have Skrelv himself. You have Crawling Chorus. You have Venerated Rot Priest. You know, you just have all of these cheap little toxic creatures. And hey, you only have to deal them 10 points of damage.
Man, I love Skrelv's hive. It's Bitter Blossom for
Skrelv.
Skrelv lovers. Which if Skrelv has a fan, I am one of them. This makes me very excited because this deck was a deck for a hot minute. It did well at like one tournament and then it went away.
Yeah.
So now I'm like, ooh, is this coming back? Because I'll tell you what's good against any kind of control or probably even domain strategy is something like Skrelv's Hive.
Yeah. There's also, it has lots of ways or some ways to proliferate, right? And also get cards like Experimental Augury.
Sure.
And Serum Snare, right? These things that do, you know, help with the tempo of the game and then also proliferate.
Wow, I love this little deck. Okay, so I've got two on my list to go home and try because, I mean, that seems sweet. And
it does seem really sweet.
If I don't have to deal 20, if I just have to deal 10, sign me up. Sign me up. Okay, so those are some decks that have been 5-0-ing leagues. I'm just going to take a little peek and see if there's anybody else that might want to come to the fore. We'll take a peek at Golgari midrange.
Okay.
Once again, running Deep Cavern Bat.
Yeah, it's the bat. You know, if you're playing black, you got to play the bat. Also, Preacher of the Schism, which I have been happy to see this card find a home.
Yeah, what is this?
It's a cool card. It says, whenever Preacher of the Schism attacks the player with the most life or tied for the most life, create a 1/1 white vampire creature token with a lifelink. And whenever it attacks while you have the most life. Oh my goodness. Let me talk. Sorry. I was like, the text was very small.
Oh, it's tight.
I'm going to talk. Preacher of the Schism says it's a 2/4 with 2 in a black for 2 in a black with death touch, which a 2/4 with death touch already.
I'll take it.
That's hard to block. You have to have 4 power to kill it. And you don't want to block with 2 creatures because it can kill both of them.
Accurate.
And that stinks. Okay. Whenever it attacks the player with the most life or tied for the most life, create a 1/1 white vampire creature token with lifelink. Whenever it attacks while you have the most life or are tied for the most life, you draw a card and you lose one life.
Yeah.
Also, if you can have both of these happen. If you and your opponent have the same life total, loaf total ends.
My loaf total is 2
loaves
because I have 2 loaves at home.
Yeah, you have 2 loaves.
Yeah,
2 cats.
2 cats.
2 cat loaves. Well, if you have the same loaf total as you get both triggers.
You have to tell your opponent your loaf total before every game just to make sure you're on the same page.
How many loaves you got?
How many loaves are you
loafing? How many loaves?
Love that. This card. This deck also plays a card I really love and have for a while, which is Mosswood Dread Knight.
Oh, yeah.
Love this card. It's 1 and a green for a 3/2 trampler. And when it dies, you can cast it from your graveyard as its adventure half until the end of your next turn. The adventure half is draw a card, lose a life.
Yeah. This deck revolves around creatures with just like good stats, right? You have Preacher of the Schism, which is a 2/4 for 3 with Death Touch. What? It also has Sentinel of the Nameless City, which is 2 and a green for a 3/4 vigilance that makes a map token when it enters the battlefield or when it attacks.
Yeah, you've got Archfiend of the Dross, which is 4 mana for a 6/6 flyer.
There's just some really good creatures in here, like just good stats.
All right, add this one to the list. This is also very good. Besides its good creatures, everybody, it has access to good removal, especially 1/1 removal in Cut Down, Bitter Triumph. For the throat.
Some really nice cards.
And Lilian of the Veil in this deck as well. So that's another cool one, everybody, to keep your eye on, in my humble opinion. Anyway, so very cool standard decks to check out. There's more we didn't even mention, but those are the ones that I think are super sweet that are out there right now.
So, you know, you can go give them a spin if you're feeling it.
Go give them a little spin. Put their names on the wheel and just spin it. See what you get.
And if you're like, hey, why do constructed formats, 60 card constructed formats matter? They've been working really hard to make standard a better environment, an environment that players are more invested in playing.
Yes.
And that is including some new upcoming regional championship changes that are starting in May, specifically revolving around the number of invites that places will get. They are upping the number of invites.
To the Pro Tour?
To the Pro Tour, yes. So this is how many invites the regional championship will give to the Pro Tour. In the U.S., it's doubling.
What?
It's going from 32 players getting an invite to 64.
Holy cow.
In EMEA, which is Europe, Middle East, and Africa, it's going from 24 to 32. Japan and Korea is going from 12 to 16. Canada is getting 4 more, going to 12. And then there's some of the smaller ones are doubling, like Mexico, Central America, and the Caribbean had 2 and are getting 4. Southeast Asia had 4 and is getting 6. China had 4 and is getting 8. Taiwan has 2 and is getting 3. Brazil has 4 and is getting 6. And South America has 2 and is getting 4. Australia and New Zealand have 8 and are getting 10.
Wow, that's right? A huge deal.
It's like, it's nice because I know that it comes directly from feedback from players being like, this has been kind of miserable. It's so hard.
Sure.
Right? Like, it is a big tournament and you have to perform exceptionally well.
We can't just go to a GP every weekend.
Exactly. And specifically, it's that they are not that often.
Right.
If there's only 8 invites, but you can go to one every other week or even
that's
just
fine.
Once a month.
Yes.
Okay, great. If you can go once a month and you're trying to top 8, much, much easier than going once every 3 months.
And say you just happen to get it wrong.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? With your deck choice.
And so I think that that's a nice change. It's going to make the Pro Tours a little bigger, which is exciting.
Love
too.
A bigger Pro Tour.
So I think that's also a nice change, right? As they continue to say, hey, we're investing in these competitive play environments. Get out there, play them. Here's more incentive to go and play them, to play in those RCQs, and then to play in the regional championships.
Hey, Megan, I found a control deck you might like.
What?
So this one is Teamer Control.
Okay.
So
I'm listening.
If you can't play blue-white control because I can beat you, what about Teamer Control?
Okay.
I mean, sure, why not? This is a neat little deck. It's still running 4 copies of Memory Deluge, so you're going to be able to get your card value there. It's playing some really spicy cards like Virtue of Strength, which is a 7-mana card. And I just set a track, so it was the best 7-mana card. But check this one out. This is an enchantment. If you tap a basic land for a mana, it produces 3 times as much of that mana instead. And it can also get stuff back from the graveyard, which is its adventure side. And you're going to want a lot of mana because you have an X spell in your deck, which is World Soul's Rage.
Oh, yeah.
For X red green sorcery. Nice. It deals X damage to any target. Put up to X cards from your hand and or graveyard onto the battlefield.
Wow.
Tapped. But they're onto the battlefield.
Yeah. That's pretty
so
sick.
So you could just kind of bide your time.
Why be 20 someone's face?
Just killing things with a braid. Sick. Maybe you're killing something with galvanic iteration. I mean, using it to copy something and kill something. And then you just World Souls Radium.
I will say, okay, there's also a deck that this deck has not been doing particularly well.
Okay.
But it was, like, I played against it. I did end up beating it. But even so, I was like, this deck is sick.
Okay.
Sultai, it's like a Sultai Reanimator deck.
Well, I'm listening.
So you're using cards like Falaji Archaeologist, which is 1 and a blue for an 0/3 when it enters the battlefield. Mill 3 cards. You may put a non-creature, non-land card from among the cards milled this way into your hand. If you don't, put a +1/+1 counter on it. Picklock Prankster, which we know the Free the Fae side of it mills 4 also. Steam Core Scholar, right? You draw and discard. And there's just like tons of other cards. Otherworldly Gaze, Wall of the Forgotten. And then what are you doing with all of this? Well, you're dumping Atraxa and Titan of Industry into your graveyard. And then you are casting or finding a way to cast from the graveyard Squirming Emergence. Which is a card that we hate the name of.
I think it won worst name of the year.
1 black green for a sorcery. Return to the battlefield. Target non-land permanent card in your graveyard with mana value less than or equal to the number of permanent cards in your graveyard. Right? And so you're like dumping all these cards into your graveyard really fast so that by like turn 4 or 5, you're trying to put an Atraxa into play from your graveyard.
All right.
Like, you know what? It was sick.
That sounds awesome.
Yes. It also, Founding the Third Path, which is one of the sagas. This is the one that it like mills cards and then, it mills cards. And then also you can cast an instant or sorcery from your graveyard. Anyways, it was very cool. It wasn't performing very well and doesn't seem to be performing very well, but maybe there's a build of it out there.
Sure.
Right? That could be good. I think that'd be really cool.
I'm looking here at some Standard League stats from just yesterday on Magic Online, and I'm wondering to myself, like, why is Standard, why is everybody raving about it? I mean, we just talked about a bunch of decks that are very, very cool and unique in their own ways, which I think is a huge part of the equation. But check this out. These are all 5-0s. Bant Poison, Teemer Control, Domain, Dimir Midrange, Esper Midrange, Teemer Control, Gruul Aggro, Mono White Control, Esper Midrange, Teemer Control, Dimir, Teemer, Bant, Teemer Control, Golgari Midrange. That is a lot of
variety. That's a lot of variety. Absolutely it is.
It's a ton of different stuff.
Yeah.
All going 5-0 in their leagues. Everybody, awesome. I encourage you to check this out. It's making me very excited for our upcoming Pro Tour in Seattle next month, by the way.
Me too.
To find out what happens.
We'll see.
And we'll have Outlaws of Thunder Junction in the mix by that time as well, too, which could shake things up even further. But this looks great.
It looks really cool. It looks good.
All right.
Go do a little sampler.
If you have a deck that you like to play in Standard, please let us know what it is. Yeah. Show it off over in the Patreon Discord. We'd love to see it. We have a Standard channel.
Yeah.
And we can talk more about it over there as well. Offline, as they say.
All right, Maria, are you ready to find out what's been happening to Princess Kate?
Oh, man, it is just a quagmire over there, you know?
Like I said, this is a boostie that I found. Just like it fell off a table at my house while I was pushing things around. So that tells you what the status of cleanliness at my house is. Anyways,
it's like,
this is a collector boostie of Adventures in the Forgotten Realms. Yeah. And it's like, open me.
Open
Look
me.
At this little beholder on the front. It definitely is like, yeah.
Open me.
Open me.
The British people apparently are very shocked at how much Americans are caring about this whole debacle.
Yeah.
But look, we don't have a royal family over here.
It's true.
We fought a war so we wouldn't have to care, but we also fought a war so we could care.
So that we could care if we wanted to.
Because I guess we're bored. Anyway, Wow, these cards got a little curly in there.
These foils are a little bendy.
Little bendy. Ooh.
Okay, I have one.
Okay, go.
Kate Middleton is missing because she has traveled back in time to the day of Shakespeare. And she has become a player in Shakespeare's company and is, in fact, the real Shakespeare. Is Kate Middleton from now traveled back to the past and writes all of Shakespeare's plays?
So she was Shakespeare.
Yes. Kate Middleton was Shakespeare. She has now traveled back in time. We will never see her again because she is Shakespeare. Shakespeare now in Shakespeare's time.
Wow.
She is an instrument of the bards.
Well, I've got one conspiracy theory here.
Yeah, let's hear
That's going to tie right into another one that's currently going on. Uh-huh. So, Kate Middleton, where is she, you might ask?
Yes,
I'll tell you. She's deep undercover right now.
Oh.
Because nobody can research and find the solution to a problem like a princess. We all know that from watching enough Disney movies, okay?
Yes.
And they're like, only a princess will do to help us solve this. So, she has come to America and she is... She's going on airplanes. She's going to airports. She's flying in disguise, of course, from city to city to city to city, because she needs to find out what the heck is going on with those Boeing airplanes.
Wow. I love the way that this is bringing together many current topics.
A witness was mysteriously found dead.
Oh my God. Also, that's the most murdered sentence I've ever heard.
I mean,
that person was so murdered.
It's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable how murdered they were.
It's just like, anyway, Kate Middleton's like, I will get to the bottom of this. Yes. I will solve this obvious murder, and I will fix the problem with all of these Boeing situations that are falling apart midair in contact other plane.
Amazing.
There she is.
All right. They don't know. The royal family has been issuing all these Photoshop pictures because they don't know where Kate Middleton is.
Yeah.
Actually, they do know where she is.
Oh.
It turns out that the Buckingham Palace librarian is also an evil warlock who has trapped her inside a book. And they can open up a book and see her in the pages of these books now in Prosper Tome bound.
Well, my current theory on where Kate Middleton is that she's made some dark pact in her past to be able to become queen one day.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I'm saying that, and it's number one, it's true. And number two, it's also my conspiracy theory. Her mom also made this dark pact, if you know anything about the royal family. But anyway, so this dark pact has been made.
Yeah.
And now the demon's coming knocking at her door being like, time to pay up, Kate Middleton.
Uh-huh.
The price is you can never have another photo taken of you ever. So even though is to be photographed and go out there and shake the hands, cut the ribbons, snap, picture, smile, the demon's like, haha, the monkey paw curls. You cannot have any photo of you ever again, but you will still exist. But will you?
Wow.
In
dark.
Asmodeus, the Archfiend.
Oh.
Archfiend. That's who's doing it. Yeah. That's the name of the devil.
All right. Well, here's a different thought on that. Kate Middleton is not human. She is a beautiful, ethereal creature who was briefly captured by the prince.
Wow.
And made human in a Selkie type situation.
Oh, yeah,
right?
She
shed her mystical skin and was like in her human form, and he stole it so that she would have to be human with him forever, but she finally found her stinking mystical skin again and put it on and will never be seen because she has returned to her true form as a celestial unicorn.
Well, what about this theory? Kate Middleton isn't even in the United Kingdom. Kingdom. She's on an island.
Oh, okay. Here's a theory for you.
Yeah.
Kate Middleton is not, once again, not human. She is an emissary of death himself who was sent to collect his most coveted trophy that he had not been able to get his hands on, which was, of course, the Queen of England herself.
Oh, yeah.
And now that Kate Middleton finally succeeded in killing the Queen of England.
Yeah, that was her secret mission.
That's what she did as an emissary of death, not as a human.
Wow, she went waited. She waited a long time to do it. I just kind of
well, it was hard. Like the queen was tricksy. Okay, the queen was real difficult to pin down and finally get like ushered through death's door because she is Shesra Death's Whisper.
Oh wow, she was an assassin this whole time.
Exactly, and now she's completed her mission and has gone home.
I believe Kate Middleton is firmly working for the United Kingdom's government on a super top secret weapons program.
Oh,
because they identified in her the ability to understand explosives, ballistics, tanks, in indoor cranes, and she's there like, yes, I will help you out. And she's designing a new Star Wars system to shoot down incoming missiles from other countries in magic missile.
Wow. All right. Kate Middleton, much like the vice president, one of her like key things that she was supposed to be doing is diplomacy.
Oh, yeah.
And it turns out that the United Kingdom doesn't want you to know that they have contacted Atlantis.
Oh.
And Kate Middleton is, of course, their diplomatic emissary to Atlantis. But they can't tell you that because they don't want anybody else to know that Atlantis exists.
But they need a diplomatic emissary.
And they need a diplomatic emissary to it so that they can establish like first contact with Atlantis. She is in the Hall of Storm Giants.
I would love to see that happen. That one's my number one right there. I believe Kate Middleton, what has happened to her is she has been... why can't I think of things? My brain is so foggy these days. You know the movie where she kidnaps a writer and forces him to like stay in her bed and then...
Oh yeah, Misery.
Misery.
So good. If you've not seen that movie, go watch it.
It's excellent. She's been really miseried. Good. Someone's miseried her. She's locked in somebody's house, but because she's not a writer, they're not forcing her to write another book. They're forcing her to just do princess stuff, but inside the house. So like, she's kind of like...
Pose for photographs?
Yeah, but only photographs that they have... But they're still just like in her business suit, like looking like, hi, I'm having a good time over this breakfast of eggs. It's a bad situation and someone needs to rescue her in Devoted Paladin.
Wow.
Somebody, it was too devoted.
Okay, which one is she married to?
William.
All right. It turns out that Kate Middleton actually only got married to Prince William because she is not British at all. She is from a secret country that has a feud with Britain and sent her there to finally assassinate Prince William.
Wow.
But she fell in love with him instead. Classic. And refused to kill him. And so now her country has gone and sent an assassin for Kate since she would not assassinate who she was supposed to assassinate. She is a grim bounty.
So it's just in a line of assassinations.
It's a line of assassins
that are going to happen. I believe Kate hasn't been seen because she ate a lot of peanut butter and she can't open her mouth. She's Targnar Demon Fagnol.
Oh, Maria, I think that we've come up with some really excellent conspiracy theories here today.
Yeah, I think at least one of these has a good chance at being correct.
Has to be right.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
If you believe that you know what has happened to Kate Middleton, please tell us.
Well, everybody, thanks for coming along on this journey with us today. We learned a lot. We learned a lot about Standard. We learned a lot about where Kate Middleton is hiding out.
Yes, absolutely.
Plans to rise from the grave on Easter. Yep. We'll see.
Cannot wait until we learn about the fact that she's been in Atlantis this whole time.
I know.
Atlantis exists.
It
she's
exists.
Been there.
I would love that movie, actually. I think that'd be a fun movie, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Also, look at this. I really love this version
of
this card. It's really cool.
It's the... What is this called?
It's like the D&D book
version of the Hall of the Storm Giants. Yeah, it's so cool. Pretty.
So nice.
One of my favorite treatments they've ever done in these with these new treatments for sure. Everybody, thanks for hanging out with us. If you want to support the show and help us do what we do, we couldn't be more thankful. You can head on over to patreon.com/glhfmagic.
Thank you once again to Thoughtseize the Means.
Great name.
New patron. Remember, $5 or more gets you a shout out and a pun.
Absolutely. You can check out our sponsor, Card Kingdom, over at cardkingdom.com/glhf. You can subscribe to our brand stinking new YouTube channel, YouTube's Commander Arcade at youtube.com/@glhfcommander. New video there. Dropping Monday.
Monday.
Just dropped the Fallout 1.
It is an epic video.
It's the longest one we've had so far.
Whew.
Spoiler alert.
And it ends with a bang.
You won't believe how this video ends. I'll tell you that.
You will not. Honestly, you will not.
You will not. I mean, that sounds like clickbait, but it's also true.
It's like pretty wild.
Truth bait,
right
there. Everybody, we're going to stick around and hang out with our producers for a little while longer. If you want longer episodes, you can become a producer. It's a really fun time to be a producer. And so we're going to chat about some stuff they want to chat about. Everybody else, we'll see you on Monday at Commander Arcade.
Yeah.
Save your quarters.